The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for Him.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Understanding Discipleship.
One little boy recently, his name was Benji, and he was asked that question. And someone said, "Do you want to let Jesus in your heart?" And he thought about it. He said, "You know, I don't think I would want that responsibility." Now, I got to credit him for at least thinking about it for a moment. He wasn't on the same wavelength. How many of you have ever talked to somebody and you're kind of here and they're kind of there and you're not getting it exactly? He wasn't really understanding, but he recognized, boy, if you're going to have Jesus in your heart, there's got to be something attached to that. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that. And so this man did not understand the commitment. He says, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go while I've been looking for a good rabbi to follow. Let's hang out together for a while." But he didn't understand the scope of this. He says to Jesus in verse 57, he says, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." But Jesus is not looking for simply travel partners. He's looking today for disciples. And I think about this in John chapter 6. Look in your notes, John 6, 64. Jesus has been teaching the doctrine of the bread of life. And it says there, "But there are some of you that believe not." By the way, Jesus knows who we are, whether believers or unbelievers. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of the Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Now, we've used this verse before, but I think it's a poignant illustration of what we're talking about this morning. There was a great crowd of people following a rabbi, a teacher, Jesus, who did miracles and fed them bread. But when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that was a doctrinal issue. That meant exclusivity. That meant Jesus was the only way. From that time, when they realized this was going to cost them family and friends, when they realized the stigma of being a Christ follower, many people turned back. Now, there are many of you here this morning, it's cool to be in church on Sunday morning, but when you're hanging out with your friends, it may not be cool to say, "I'm a Christ follower. I don't do that. I'm a Christ follower. I don't go there." You see, if we're not careful, we begin to put limitation on what it means to be a Christ follower. And it really reminds me of the bumper sticker I saw some time ago. You know, there's a lot of theology in some Christian bumper stickers. One guy had a bumper sticker and it said, "God is my co-pilot." How many of you have ever seen that one? Let me see. I mean, it sounds cool. "God is my co-pilot." You know, you've seen these things. Like one guy has the one, "Honk if you love Jesus." I like the other one better, "Tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk." Have you ever seen that one? That's a good one. But this guy had one that said, "Honk if you love," it said, "God is my co-pilot." And someone has come out with a new one that's a little better theologically. And the new one simply says, "If God is your co-pilot, change seats." Now, my friend this morning, God doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He wants to be your pilot. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Would you say that with me, please? Jesus is Lord. He doesn't want to be your Sunday morning God. He wants to be your everyday God. He is Lord. And this man, he was saying, "I'll follow you wherever you want to go." But it really was a thoughtless decision. He had not thought out the ramifications of being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there would be an unexpected destiny for him. You see, if one is to go wherever Jesus goes, they must be willing to suffer rejection. Again, I don't like rejection, and you don't like rejection. That's why sometimes we don't witness as we should, or tell others we are a Christian as we should, because we're worried about self. But this man had not fought this out entirely. In fact, look what Jesus said in John 15:18. It says, "If the world hate you, ye know not that it hated me. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You see, to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that if you truly follow him, there will come times when you're not the cool guy, you're not accepted, there may be even persecution that you face. Now, the problem really lies in this verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, this is what he said about so many Christians. He said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Now, let's say that together. Ready to begin. "For all seek the thing their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ." One more time. "For all seek their not." Now, are you here this morning to get out of it what you can, this rabbinical school, this church? Or are you here to let Jesus have his way in your life? And many people are seeking their own. Some people come to church interfacing for business. Some people come to church to get marital help and help for their children. All of that has its place. But we are not here primarily for our own. We are primarily here to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so a disciple of Jesus must realize that following him means from time to time we will be a stranger in this world. Now, remember, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he did not do. And I want you to notice what the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. This passage deals with the subject of financial giving, which every disciple does. But notice as we are challenged to give in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, this is how it was placed in context. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now, when Jesus came to this earth, he did not stop being God. He is eternal God. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is God in the flesh. But Jesus laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. In other words, when he was on the cross, he could have said, 10,000 angels come and take me away. He could have done that, but he didn't do that in order that he might die for our sins. He didn't have to sleep on the floor. He didn't have to be born in a manger. He did all of these things selflessly so that we might be redeemed. How many of you are thankful he did that? Now then, you and I are challenged by a Savior who gave everything to abandon our will and to follow him. He who was rich became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. And so if we will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we must have no regard for provision. We're not going to do what we're going to do as long as we can still have our way and our overtime and our hobbies and our goals are met. As long as Jesus doesn't get in my way, then I'll follow Jesus. You see, that's the attitude that this man was taking. He said, "I'll go along with you as a rabbi who will teach and feed me." But Jesus says, "You don't understand. The birds of the air have nests and the foxes of the grounds have nests. I don't even know where I will be in the sense of where I will stay." He's saying Jesus did, but he's telling this man, there's not a place for you perhaps as one of my disciples. And so there would be an unexpected destiny in the context of this man. And so the first characteristic of this disciple is no regard for provision. All right? No provisions being made with God. Secondly, there would be no reservation of schedule. No reservations about schedule. Notice the second man in verse 59. "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Now we see in this verse 59 a very serious call. And I want you to notice Jesus says to this man, "Follow me." That is an imperative. It is not a request, it is a command. And this matter of being a Christian is a choice. And the choice is, I will either obey the Lord and believe his doctrine and follow him, or I will disobey. Jesus says, "Follow me." It was a serious call, but notice there is a delayed answer. And this man says, Lord, suffer me to first to go and bury my father. Now, we understand that in this day in the Holy Land, in the first century, there was a requirement that you would honor your mother and father. In fact, it went back hundreds of years prior, all the way back to the Ten Commandments. We understand that. And by the way, we should honor our parents today. Someone says, my parents are not Christians. You should still honor them in whatever context you can. And this man says, Lord, I want to follow you, but I need to go take care of my father. And as the parents were dying in this culture, it was not uncommon to kind of move in. And if you were not already there, make arrangements, provide for food, provide for needs. If there was a funeral, provide for song and food, and even pay the wailers who would come and wail and cry during the processional. It was quite a process, this process of mourning in these Jewish homes. Well, the fact of the matter was that this man says to the Lord, Lord, allow me to first go and bury my father. I want you to think this through logically for just a minute. In all likelihood, the man's father was not dead yet, or he would have already been with his father, you see. And so this man was not so burdened about taking care of his family as he was making a loophole. He was really saying, Lord, not now, maybe later. Let me wait a while, take care of earthly matters, then I'll follow you, and then I'll do what you want me to do. And I wonder how many people in this room right now, the Lord is burdening your heart about certain things, perhaps something with your family, perhaps giving, whatever, witnessing. And your attitude is a not now, Lord, maybe later, Lord, you see. And this man was simply saying, Lord, I want you to know I've got some other things I need to take care of. So there is this call that is given, a very serious call that is given by the Lord. And then there's this delay that is offered by this man. And then notice, if you would, thirdly, there's a sad rebuttal that's given by Jesus. Verse 60, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, how many of you agree with me? Let the dead bury the dead. That's kind of a sober response, wouldn't you say? Jesus is saying, look, I don't want to hear that excuse. Now, Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for him. And I want to challenge you, my friend. Many people think you can't have both. They think, well, I can't serve God and I can't have a good family at the same time. That is a lie of the devil. And be very careful about this idea of saying, you know what, I would go to the revival, but I just, you know, it's just not the best for my family. Let me tell you what's best for your family, sir. Having a daddy that's thoroughly right with God. Okay, so you invest a few hours in the Word, you get your heart right, it is a multiplication factor the rest of the time that you're with your family. And so there may be times someone says, well, don't you think it's possible that someone's so involved at church to the detriment of their family? That could be possible. If that's happening in your life, tell somebody right away, we'll relieve you from some duty. I don't meet too many people like that, to be frank with you. The fact of the matter is, most people are much more involved in other things and not so involved in Scripture. Scriptural and spiritual things. And this man was certainly one. He said, you know, Lord, I'd love to follow you, but I just got to take care of some personal business first. C.T. Studd, the great missionary, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. So Jesus gives a rebuke. And then Jesus says to this man in verse number 60, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He says, I want to challenge you to go out and do what a true disciple does. A true disciple will herald the truth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said this. He said, I know of nothing which I would choose to have as the object of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to God till my death, still to be a soul winner, still to be a true herald of the cross, and to testify the name of Jesus Christ till the last hour. What a tremendous goal. You see, the fact of the matter is that all of us should be faithful the course of our life, as Spurgeon said, till the last hour. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, I have nothing to glory of or necessity, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so a true disciple isn't hit and miss, but all the way through is following the Lord. Therefore, we see in this text, a true disciple, first of all, has no regard for provision. He doesn't say, I'll go to church as long as it doesn't interfere with work. I'll go to church as long as it doesn't interfere with my agenda. I'll follow Jesus as a rabbi, but not as a Lord. Secondly, a true disciple has no reservation of schedule. He doesn't say, Lord, I'll go to church when I can fit you in. I'll read my Bible when I can fit you in. But a true disciple says, Lord, I'm going to make you first in my life, preeminent in my life. And then thirdly, a true disciple has no retreat to the past. No retreat to the past. Now, let me tell you something the devil's an expert at. The devil's an expert at making deals. How many of you remember that show on television, Let's Make a Deal? Come on, talk to me, help me. All right, is the show that old? All right, a lot of the kids don't remember that, all right? This is back when they didn't cuss and they wore clothes on television. All right, now you're kind of getting back into the time frame. Let's Make a Deal. They always normally had three curtains, right? And you could pick what's behind curtain one, two, or three. I got to tell you, the devil's always got at least three curtains for you. And when Jesus is saying, I want you to follow me unreservedly, I want you to come after me and don't look back, the devil says, wait, before you do that, take a look at curtain one, two, and three, right? And normally behind one of the curtains are your old friends. And the devil says, hey, before you go off and serve Jesus and before you join the Bible class, why don't you at least say goodbye to your old friends? And your old friends are always going to say, hey, let's just tie one on for old sake, time's sake. Let's just have a party. Remember when we did? Remember that? And I want to tell you something. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to say no to the old friends, no to the old crowd, no to the old temptation. You're going to have to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Okay, that's what a disciple does. Okay, some of you are like, whoa, I'm glad I'm saved because I don't want to go to hell, but you know, I kind of like my old friends. Well, let me show you what the Bible says about this. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. What's the next word say? All right, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, God wants us to follow him with one focus. And here we see that this young man, and this particular man is mentioned only in Luke's gospel, he wants to say goodbye to his old friends. He wants just this one last parting moment. I cannot tell you how many young people I have counseled over the years. And a young man becomes a Christian, and he's dating a young lady who's not a Christian, or vice versa. And there's always this pull. And there's always this pull back to the world. Young people that say, I'm going to serve the Lord, but they have those old friends that they begin to hang around. Before you know it, they're not serving the Lord. Young people who say, oh, I'm just going to try to win my old drinking buddies to the Lord, my own party friends to the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes it's the opposite effect. That's why Jesus says, with a single heart, I want you to follow me. Follow without any distraction. Notice that in verse 62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Now, you need to decide today, my friend. Are there people that distract your faith? I'm talking to you. Second Sunday of the new year. You're not going to make it this year spiritually if you don't answer some of these questions. Are there people distracting you from following Jesus? Are there places distracting you? Are there things that are distracting you from following Jesus? Whatever the case, you've got to say, I can't retreat there. I've got to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, some of you ought to get involved with what your kids do on the internet and who their friends are, because you're bringing them to church, but all week long the devil's showing them curtain one, two, and three. That's why I thank God for parents that stay involved with their kids and get them into a Christian school and help them along the way in this matter of discipleship. They're not old enough to make their own decisions along these lines. The Bible says that a parent is to train up the child in the way they should go. And so all of us need to be concerned that there's no retreat to the past, young and old. Golf immortal by the name of Arnold Palmer. I don't know how many games he won, maybe in the 60s. I know he won at least one Masters. But on one occasion, he was winning a Masters tournament, and Arnold Palmer came around, and he hit a beautiful drive on the 18th fairway. And boy, everyone was just clapping for him, and he was feeling good. And he was coming up to take his second shot, and he saw an old friend over here standing on the side, and he went over and shook his hand, and his old friend said, "Hey, way to go, Arnie, you did a great shot, you're going to win it, way to go." And they talked about things for just a couple of seconds, and it kind of broke his concentration. Arnold Palmer said he got to the next shot, and he swung, and he hit that ball completely over the green, completely out of bounds. He hit it back again, over the green again. He wound up losing that Masters by 2 strokes. And he said the lesson he learned was, when you're coming down the stretch, you don't break your focus. You've got to stay focused on what you're doing at the moment. And the devil is an expert at getting you out of focus. And Jesus is telling us, make me your focus. Don't look back. Don't try to follow me while you're retreating toward the back. This concession was not a concession that Jesus would grant. He was not going to give a pass. He was not going to give this situation to this man. He recognized it was but an excuse from a man that really wasn't going to follow him at all. You know, one of the shortest verses in the Bible is found in Luke 17:32. And you know what it says? Remember Lot's wife. Can you say that with me? Remember Listen, the fact of the matter is, she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt, and God says, I want you to remember that. I want you to not look back. Adoniram Judson, the great Baptist missionary, said, the motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be devoted for life. You remember that verse about Demas? Some of you remember it. It's found in your notes this morning. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me. We've all heard that phrase. But look at the next phrase. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me. What does the rest of it say? Having loved this present world. You see, the Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You see, the fact is, Demas left because he loved the present world. I get this. I understand that if Jesus had thousands that followed him, but when he started talking discipleship, many of them said, well, I'm not going to get that carried away with this rabbi. I mean, I like the free bread and everything, but no. We're not going to start saying he's the only way. And many turned back. I got to tell you something. That's going to happen in the day in which we live. Not everybody wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The challenge this morning is not about just kind of joining a club. The challenge this morning is to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think you have to go to church to grow closer to the Lord. All right. How much time have you had in the Word this week, or in prayer? How are we doing in the way we treat others? Listen, the fact of the matter is, if we're going to follow Jesus, we want to keep growing in discipleship. No excuses. So let's notice these three things in review. First, are you following Jesus with an eye for provision? That is to say, are you saying, you know, if it's good for me, I'll stay faithful to God. Is that your condition? What happens when things aren't so good at work? What happens when it's not like you thought? And secondly, are you saying, I'll follow Jesus when it fits my schedule? Lord, you just need to know, Lord, that I got a burial to take care of. I got some estate planning. I got some things. Once I get everything funded just right, then I'll start even tithing. Are you following Jesus just as soon as you take care of personal things? Are you a true disciple of Christ?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we're offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Paid in Full. It's yours when you make a donation to this ministry. Visit paulchappell.com to find out more. With your gift of just $10 a month, you can become a partner in the Word to help continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.